We have a very special speaker with us today. Okay, he is Gerard Kaur. All right, would you come, Gerard? We want to pray for you before you speak, okay? You can just come here. Okay, let's just go to God in prayer. Let's just ask God for His unction and anointing upon this brother, all right? All right, would you stretch your hand towards him? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask you right now to just anoint, oh God, our brother Gerard Kaur. Father, we ask that you will put your words into his mouth and that fire will come out, oh God. A fire to burn away things that are not of you in our lives. Fire, oh God, that will cause your glory to shine, oh God, in our lives, oh God. Lord, we ask that your spirit will whisper to him what he needs to say and that you remove all fear, oh God, and everything that is not of you, oh God, in this heart so that he will be free, oh God, to just speak your word, oh God, with boldness that we, your people, will have open hearts to hear. Father, we just commit this time to you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come right now and begin to take over and do all that you need to do. Lord, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We honor you in this place. We say that you are Lord. You are preeminent in this place, God. And we give you full control to do whatever you want to do, Lord. Just come and touch us, O God, and meet with us. We pray and we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
God is great. Can I hear a louder amen? God is great. All right. This morning, I had the opportunity to meet up with Elder Jeremy. And he asked me this wonderful question. Have you been here before? I have to confess, I have. Probably not out here standing, but 40 years ago, I was privileged to be in one of the best kindergartens in town 40 years ago. But I was here for just 2 long days. You will probably wonder why 2 long days. Because I held the record of wetting my pants for 2 consecutive days. So the embarrassment, I just couldn't take the embarrassment. I said I have to leave the school. So thank you very much, elders, for having me here. With me today is my wonderful family, my wife, and my 2 teenage daughters, and my mother. Okay, they are here to support me. So I just want to ask you a simple fact. Do you know what are the odds, for you to win a lottery? Do you know? You don't know, huh? The odds, according to the U.S. Lottery Department, the odds is 175 million to 1. So forget about buying lottery, yeah? What are the odds of a person in the lifetime to get cancer? Do you know the odds? Do you? It's alarming. 1 in every 2 person might have cancer. Now, I was unfortunate enough to have cancer not once, but twice. My wife had the most unfortunate event of not having to handle cancer twice, but 3 times. Why? Because after me, my mother, and then back to me. So 3 times you have to go through fight cancer. Okay? So you probably hear, wow, that's astonishing. I just want to, not only to share with you, I just want to show you as well the journey that I took.
Believe it or not, if I tell you that I used to weigh 90 kilos and managed to lose 20 kilos in a month, but many of my friends, I'm sure you want to know what diet plan I use. Well, to disappoint you, I wouldn't want to recommend it to you. But I will share. I was blessed at a very young age to be leading an American company. It was the height of my career, as I get to travel to visit many countries. I thought that I made it, until I was diagnosed with stage 3 nose cancer. My whole world crumbled. It was like a death sentence. On top of that, I have 2 young girls, aged 5 and 4. I had to go through 35 radiotherapy and 3 chemotherapy. It was the longest and darkest days of my life. It took me 2 hours to finish a cup of water because of the effects of the radiotherapy that literally burned my throat. With support from my friends and family, I overcame it one step at a time. 18 months later, they found a dot in the liver. The dot soon grew to 6 tumors. Then I realized that the cancer has migrated to the liver. I officially had stage 4 liver cancer. The doctors term it unusual, and it's not normal for the NPC to migrate from the nose to the liver. If it did, most likely I will be 6 feet underground. I was dumbfounded, speechless. I felt like being hit by a train. A second death sentence, stage 4 liver cancer. My chances of survival is very low. Even though the chances were low, I did not give up. Surely and slowly, I will overcome it. My faith was strong in beating stage 4 liver cancer. That I enrolled myself in an MBA program. When my coursemate found out about it, they asked me, what was I doing in class? I told them that the worst that can happen to me that in my obituary, it will read attempted MBA. Fighting cancer is challenging. I personally believe there are 3 aspects that help me overcome it. The 3 aspects are body, mind, and spirit. I left it to the doctor to take care of my body with the doses of chemo cocktails. As for my mind, I was very positive. I was so positive that I continued with my MBA and didn't miss classes even when going through chemo, and eventually graduated from it. From my personal experience, the most important aspect is the spiritual part. I am a Christian and very connected to Jesus. To me, Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship with Jesus. During my challenging times, I would cry out to Jesus and He would answer my cries. I would say that aside from my family and friends, the most prevalent friend that helped me through this is Jesus. This year, 2016, is 7 years since I overcame stage 4 liver cancer. So you tell me, am I a miracle? I am, Gerard Kaur.
So you tell me, is God great or what? God is great. Huh? Many people will just ask the question, how did I really overcome cancer? Stage 4 cancer. The odds of surviving stage 4 liver cancer is just 11%. This year is 2017. It's 8 years already. So I go and see the doctor. The doctor said that it's not an issue. Right? I mean, 2 more years, the doctor, I asked the doctor, did I overcome cancer? And then the doctor, of course, you know, nothing demeaning to doctors. He will say that, wait for 2 more years. So next 2 years, it will be 10 years, and they have nothing much to say, but to say that, yes, you are really a miracle. So today, I just want to share with you, how did I overcome it? Okay, I'm not here going to tell you, I'm not selling anything, I'm not telling you that, you know, you should eat this or you should not eat that. Okay, I'm not telling you, I'm going to tell you, you know, you should think positively or think differently. I'm here to tell you about Jesus. Okay? So I'm going to talk to you about walking on water. Right? Do you know that there's only 2 human beings recorded now? Don't talk about the magicians. Huh? 2 human beings that managed to walk on water. First is, of course, Jesus Christ. And second is Peter. So here I want to share with you about Peter. How did he walk on water? Okay? Most of us know that it is important for us to have faith. Everything we pray, we must believe. So faith. in Hebrews 11:1, it says that now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is a popular verse of us Christians and talking about faith. But what really is faith? When you're going through tough times, just like what I did, with the chances of survival so low, you tell me about faith, it is a very challenging thing to accept. How much faith do you have? The Bible says a mustard seed. What is a mustard seed? When you're going through the storms in your life, the storms, the rain, the wind is blowing every day. How do you have that faith? Right? How do you have that faith? God, I want to have that faith. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe that you can do something for me. You know, some people say that, hey, you must have faith. Go after, you know, this fellow, Mr. So-and-so is coming. We have a healing revival. We have a healing meeting. Have faith. Go and be prayed for. And you go there and you are prayed for. And then the next day you go to the doctors. The doctors say that, nope, you're still there. Then what happened? Will your faith grow cold? Will you stop believing in God? I had that problem. I'm sure some of us may have, or maybe I'm just the only one. Okay. Then I stumbled upon this book by Jim Collins called Good to Great. In Good to Great, he talked about this gentleman by the name of Jim Stockdale. Jim Stockdale was an admiral in the Hanoi Hilton. Those of us know where Hanoi Hilton was during the Vietnam War, where the Red Cons were captured the Americans and they were put them in prisons. Very, very, very disgusting prisons. You have to sleep in the mud. They don't have proper stuff. And what things that they will do is that they will beat them up and they will break them up. Okay? But get this. Not many people survive the Hanoi Hilton. But Jim Stockdale managed. And this is what he said. He never doubted that not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end. And turn the experience into the defining event in my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade. Now, if you ask me this question, would I go through this two-stage cancers again? I said, I would gladly will. You probably say, you are crazy. You know why I said I will? Because that was the best time of my life with my Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you've seen, you know, I was a very young age then, very ambitious. I said that. You know, I wanted to rule the world, be a corporate high flyer. But here am I, standing here, sharing to all of you. My plans and God's plans doesn't jive. So he had to strike me down with two cancers so that I can give him the glory. Okay, so what about this Jim Stockdale? What is so profound about this Jim Stockdale? Why was he the only one who survived among the many, many POWs? Because he said that. This is what he said. You must retain the faith that you will prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties. And at the same time, you must confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, wherever they might be. So this struck me. I said that, wow, the brutal facts is that I may die. My children, two young children, are still very young at that time. They were just 5 and 4. Today, they are 16 and 15. That is the brutal fact that I have. The brutal fact that I have is that, you know, maybe tomorrow I wake up, I may be gone. That is the fact that I have to accept. But yet, I believe that my God will take me through. Because that's what the Bible tells me. Right? Maybe some of us, when we go for a healing revival, we are healed. Some of us, we are not healed on that particular time. Do we still lose hope? Do we say that, oh, God is not working? Or do we accept the fact that, hey, because in 2 Corinthians, it says that all the troubles are just temporary. We have to look at the future. The brutal fact is that if I die today, I'm going to a better place. I'm going to heaven. But if I survive, I probably can see I walk my daughter down the aisles. Not today, but many, many more years down the line. Right? So that is the brutal fact that I have accepted. And that is something that I held on to, knowledge that, yes. And sometimes some of us say that, oh, you just have to pray. You just have to do this. But we don't accept. We don't accept the fact that the bank is going to foreclose your house. We don't expect that the possessors is going to repossess your car. We say that, don't worry, God is there. We don't accept the fact. Right? We have to accept the fact. Benjamin Franklin said that there's only two certainties in the world. Death and taxes. But we as Christians, we say there's three certainties in the world. Death, taxes, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Can I say a louder amen? Amen. Right? So that brings me to this Bible story of Matthew 14:22-32. If you have the Bible, I'm not going to read this out to you, but I'm going to summarize the story. Can't read, huh? Just for those who have magnifying glasses. So just to bring you into perspective about this story. Jesus fed the 5,000. And he told the disciples, go to the other side. Take the boat and go to the other side. And in the middle of the journey, suddenly, a terrible storm came. It was so bad that the people, the disciples in the boat were struggling. I mean, 2 weeks ago, Penang experienced the most terrible storm that I could ever remember in my life. Right? Some of us may have experienced the flood. This is terrible. So you know how the tenacity of the storm that is going this. In the Bible, it says that huge waves, we do not know how huge is the wave. The boat is rocking. Right? The boat is rocking. Jesus, when they saw that happening, they were struggling. The disciples were struggling. And what did he do? He walked to them. He went to them. There are 12 people, there are 12 disciples in the boat. How many disciples walk on water to go to Jesus? 12 disciples. How many? Just one. Just one. Why just one? Why can't it be two? What happened to James and John? They are close buddies to Jesus. What happened to them? Why only one? Sometimes we also ask this question, why only me? Right? So today I want to share with you faith in action. Sometimes this is what I learned from my experience. And this is something that I cherish very much. Peter accepted the brutal facts. The brutal facts for him was that he may drown. He's going against the law of gravity. Anybody knows. Probably the 11 other people are smarter than him. They believe the law of gravity. But not Peter. He was going against the law of gravity. He wanted to walk on water. There's something that is unprecedented. Impossible. In some of our situations, like for my situation, it's something very impossible. Medical science will say it's impossible. 11% chance of survival. Over 5 years. This is my 8th year. Nothing wrong. All clean. Right? 11%. To Peter, it was also impossible. The wave, he's not a marathon runner, he doesn't have strong muscles, his muscles will give way. His legs will be shaking, walking on water. The waves will, if not of the water, the wind will blow him away. Right? So that is the fact that he has to live with. Right? So when we, but he still believes. He still believes. So what is so different about him? First is that, when we have faith, we must seek God's will. If you read the verses carefully, it says that before stepping out of the boat, he asks for permission. If it's you, Lord, tell me. If it's you. Because other people saw that it was a ghost. He's the only one who dare ask, is it you, God? Sometimes the things that we do not know. As for me,
You know, you hear people telling you, oh, you got cancer. Don't go to hospital. Just take this diet, take that diet, take that snake grass, take the elephant nose. Have you heard of that? Not elephant nose, elephant trunk, and then you get better. I ask God. Then suddenly all your best friends became the best nutritionists in the world. Hey, don't take that. That one very dangerous. You cannot take this. Or you cannot take that. Then what do I take? I tell my friends, if I cannot eat this, I cannot eat that, I don't think I will die of cancer. I die of hunger. Right? So I thought, God's will, God, what do you want for me? Do you want me to go through chemo? Or do you want me to take all those grasses? Also your creation, like grasses, all the herbs and spices, also your creation. But God told me, just go ahead. The second time, I was struggling. I don't know. It was very unusual. Nobody in Penang, let alone in Malaysia, can handle my case. So God was so good. He arranged for an American to be in Penang. John Hopkins professor to be in Penang. Just for me. Not because I called him, but he was attached to one of the private hospitals here in Penang. I got the best. And every time I go and see him, I have to spend 2 hours with him. And every time I come out, everybody will look at me and say, this person has wasted my time. 2 hours I've been waiting for this doctor to see this doctor. So every time, because it's not cheap, consulting him. John Hopkins professor, not cheap to consult him. So I ask him every question, what can I eat? What time can I sleep? And all these kind of questions. All mundane questions. But to me, it's important. Because I want to know the very, very thing. So the goal is must know the will of God. What's the will of God in your life? Right? Of course, my will, my personal will is to survive because I want to see my children grow. I told the Lord, God, don't do it for me. Do it for my kids. Do it for my family. They are still very young. I don't want them to grow up without a father. I grew up without a father, so I do not want them to grow up without a father. So, that's my hope. That's my desire. But what's your will, God? What's your will? So I said, the best thing is that I go for healing and then I get healed. But God told me it's just like winning a lottery. How many of you know those people who won lottery? They forget about their job and then suddenly they became poor the next 3 years or what? Because they spend everything that they have. So I told God, and it's your will for me to go through this journey. You be with me. God, you be with me. Right? So if it's God's will or not for your life, sometimes you are praying for certain things. You are praying for this, you are praying for that. Then ask God, you talk about healing. You talk about, the Bible says about healing. Then God said, are you pursuing the healing or are you pursuing the healer? Sometimes you want things, oh God, I pray for a house. Are we pursuing the gift or are we pursuing the giver? Right? So that is the most important thing. So for me, I was pursuing the healer. Then I say sometimes, God, healing, physical healing. Sometimes God doesn't heal you physically. He heals you spiritually. And mentally. Sometimes we need forgiveness. The forgiving is healing in our lives. Sometimes it's the grudges that we hold against our lives. We need that healing. So it's up to Him. Up to God's will. For Him, whether to heal instantly or heal us through a journey. For me, it was a journey. A very long journey. Okay? So whatever you do, when you have faith, remember, is it God's will for your life? If it's not God's will, ask for His will. Peter asked. Peter was the only person who asked, can I come out? Is it you? Can I come out? The second point is that faith waits on the Lord. After Peter sought His will in his answering the Lord for permissions, he didn't immediately jump out. Some of us, we immediately jump into certain things that we want to do. Oh God, I want this, I want that. And then suddenly you hear God say, okay, go and buy. And suddenly you bought the most expensive house in the market. Then 3 weeks down the line, you saw that the market price went down like 50%. Right? Do you wait for the Lord or not?
sometimes we just act irrationally. For me, I have a streak of impatientness. I cannot wait for things to happen. I prefer to make things happen. But God has another thing to heal me. He needs to heal my patience. He needs to develop my patience. Just now I told you, I cannot wait. I just came to this school for 2 weeks, 2 days. I cannot wait for the term to end or the year to end until I grow up because I was very embarrassed. I just cannot wait. Right? So, can we wait for the Lord? We have to wait for the Lord. This reminded me, you know, when you saw in the video that I, despite my second fight with cancer, I decided to enroll in MBA, MBA program. As you, some of you studies as students or have studied before, it's not an easy task. So one of the things I did was that, God, is it your will? Because to me, why I enrolled in the MBA program, because I believe it's God's will for me to survive. And just like what I told you, the odds of everybody catching cancer is 1 to 2. Every 2 person, 1 person may have cancer. This is not what I tell you. It is statistically proven. So what can I be different for you, God? How can I be different for you? I decided that I want to pursue MBA. I told God, if Lee Hsien Loong, a human being, I don't know whether he's a Christian or not, he can survive. If Lance Armstrong, I don't know whether he's a Christian or not, if he can survive, I, a mere mortal, a Christian, the child of God, I'm sure I too can survive if I wait for you. So I went to this exam during my chemotherapy. During the chemotherapy, I went to the exam. Some people say I'm crazy. Some people say I'm stupid or what, I don't know. But I have the Lord Jesus. So when I sat down in the exam, I looked at the paper. The paper looked at me. And I told myself, Gerard Hall, what are you doing here? It's very simple. It's not as simple as those who are doing accounting or who's into business. They know that managerial finance is not simple. So he was like, 1 plus 1, just a simple thing. I know the answer is 2, but I just cannot write it's 2. So it was that bad. And I told God, your will. You told me to do MBA. I wait for you. If I pass, I pass. I don't want to get distinction. I don't want to get a credit. I just want to pass. If I pass, then I will continue. But I want to glorify your name. So he let me pass because I asked for pass. I didn't ask for a distinction. Probably if I ask for distinction, she'll probably give it to me. Huh? So we have to wait for the Lord. We have to wait for the Lord. Sometimes we are too impatient. Then I asked myself, yes, ask God, why do you give me a distinction? Then I found out that you can defer your paper. So if I deferred my paper to another week or to another 2 weeks, probably. But then I won't be able to tell you this story, right? So that is very important, that we have to wait on the Lord. And during my challenging times, you know, I lost 20 kilos. You know, if you knew me 10 years ago and you saw me today, you probably won't recognize me. It's two different person. Those who know me from young and lost contact with me for 10 years, they say, wow, you didn't change at all when you were a teenager and now you still look the same. I say, thank you very much. I still look very young. So we have to wait on the Lord. During my challenging times, you know, there was burn in my throat. You could see the burn mark. You know, it's like a barbecue. You know, and inside, it's even worse. But still, I waited on the Lord. I still pursued the Lord. I said that I won't neglect worshiping in your house. I still went to church. I still went to prayer. People look at me differently. I said, I don't care. I'm not here to look good. I'm here to worship the Lord. I'm here to pursue my God. I'm here to sit at the footstool of the Lord. So I just waited and waited for Him so that He could take me through these challenging times. And as you know, the barbecue, outside barbecue, inside roasted. So I cannot drink. And every time I have to take a meal, it will take me 2 hours. Just a simple bowl of soup. And I remember this incident vividly. I told God, may my wife have to work,
my two children, they, you know, we were blessed because one of our friends said, okay, we'll take care of the two girls. They can be here in the kindergarten from morning till evening until when my wife finishes work, she can just take them home. So here am I sitting in front of the bowl, and I told God, God, I have to finish the soup. It took me 2 hours. I said, God, just give me 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes. God, dine with me. So I really felt the presence of the Lord. Just like our brother Raymond saying, going through his storm in his life, he felt the Holy Spirit. I understand, because I felt the Holy Spirit comforting me. And then I felt that my throat suddenly can open, and I drank it in 5 minutes. Then my loving mother-in-law said, wow, you very skinny already. You must eat, you know. I said, yes, I ate everything in the world already. So why I don't want to eat? And she said, okay, you come, I invite you to eat together with me. So she came to my house, but she was very impatient because it took me 2 hours to finish a bowl of her herbal soup. So she said, okay, I have to go home already. So I told her, now you know why I cannot eat, nah. It's not that I don't want to eat, but because of my challenges. But I waited on the Lord. I said, you know, I could say, I could be angry at God, saying, you know, I love food. Now I can only, I love seafood, no, the prawns, the crab. Now all I can enjoy is see the food. And because I'm also very, very cautious of my diet, so I don't simply eat, I just see the food. Okay, now it's also good now because the inflation, so you don't have to buy prawns or God's way of saving money. Okay, so you have to wait on the Lord. The third thing is that faith, trust, and obey. Only when God said, come, did Peter go. Okay? Peter listened to God and he climbed out. He didn't jump into the water. He just slowly climbed out and slowly walked on water. My faith was so strong. I believed that God is going to pull me through. One day I confronted the doctor. I really did. I told the doctor, my Jesus is great. No, he healed me already. So I command you to stop my therapy. Oh, doctor. Doctor said, okay, your mentality and your faith is very strong. And my wife was with me at that time. So he said, let's ask the wife. If the wife says stop, we stop. If the wife says carry on, we carry on. And I said, I believe my wife shared the same faith. I believe she will say stop. Then I looked at my wife. Eyes on fire. And she was thinking, I think she was praying. She was praying, but probably thinking, I don't know. She was silent for, seems like eternity. And then she said, doctor, I fully agree. Oh, I heard the words. To continue with the therapy. I said, oh, God. But I believe that because God said that you must love your wife. Whatever your wife said, you must also trust and obey. So I believe, God, you're speaking through the wife. So I trust and obey God. That God, it is your will for me to continue the therapy. Because it's a journey. Sometimes we just want instantly. We want things to happen instantly. God can make it happen instantaneously, right? But will that change our love for Him? Will that draw us closer to Him? My journey so far has drew me closer to God. I told people, you can take anything away from me, but you can't take the love of God from me. That's not what I said. That's what the Bible said in Romans 8:38. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. So that's the love that I have for Him. I trusted and obeyed God. He wanted to carry on. I carried on. So because I trust and obey Him, you know, sometimes we are concerned because my daughters, they still have to study and go through university. So I said, that's your problem, my God. If you take me to heaven, this one you take care. I trust and obey you. You take care of everything. So I trusted and obey God. Now, do you notice a trend here? Peter was focusing on small wins. First win is that he asked God, what is your will? The second thing he asked, he waited on the Lord. And the third thing is that he trusted and obeyed God. It's very important for us to focus on small wins. Sometimes we want things to happen immediately, but God is taking through us faith by faith, one step at a time. Just like Jim Stockdale, he accepted the fact, but he had the faith that he will all come in. The people that did not make it was that their hopes were too high. They were expecting, saying that, I will get out by Christmas. I will be healed by Christmas. I will be healed during this person's revival. I will be healed in that person's revival. I will be healed in church tomorrow. Revival came, revival went. And they are not healed. They feel demoralized. They did not focus on the small wins. I focused on the small win. My wife and I, every time we go for chemotherapy, you have to go through a blood test to ensure that your white cells and your platelets are sufficient enough for you to go through the chemo cocktail. So every time before we go, we will just pray. God, let us win this small battle. The ultimate thing is to win the war, not the battle. So one step at a time, we overcame. One chemo at a time, we overcame. The first time I went through chemo, I was throwing out not only the water, but I threw out blood. Then I asked the nurse, "Nurse, is this normal?" And then the nurse gave me a very wonderful answer. It's normal for people to throw out, but you are the first time you throw out blood. So I said, "Wow, that's very encouraging." Right, but we prevail because we focus on the one win at a time. I said, God, this is just blood. Nothing can compare with the blood that you have shed on the cross for me. Right? Nothing. So I'm just focusing on one day at a time. So whatever you are going through right now, I just want to tell you, focus on one day at a time. Every day when I wake up, oh, I didn't end up in heaven yet. Nah. I'm still here. So I can still see my daughters. I can still see my family. One win at a time. And when I went through MBA, one subject at a time. One task at a time. I was so gung-ho, I threw an email to my professor. And said, I think I should, you should give me an A for the distinction for the hard work that I put into. Then she replied, said, for the state that you're in, you should be happy that you got a credit. And you should be happy that you're alive. I said, yeah, that's true, God. I should be happy. I should be glad that I'm here. I should be glad that, you know, God is there for us. And finally, it's very important. This is the most important point. If you forget anything I said, this is the most important point. Christ should be the goal. Not our healing, but Christ. Glorifying God, God should be our goal. When Peter said was to come out of the water, he went out of the water to come towards Jesus. Because during that time, he knew that he saw the 5 loaves and 2 fishes became a miracle to feed the 5,000. He missed his Lord. He missed Jesus. He wanted to go out to see Jesus. He didn't think in his mind that he was going to walk on water, but he went out to pursue Jesus. He went out to focus on Jesus, not on being famous, but to go after Christ, to go after the Lord, because he probably missed the Lord. He probably missed Jesus. So whatever we do, we have to focus on Jesus. If we focus on our giants, we stumble. When we focus on God, our giants stumble. Right? So that's why we have to focus our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is everything. How can we give him the glory? I'm blessed today because I'm here today and being invited by the elders here to share what God has done for me. I'm just another statistic. But God is not a statistic. God wants your life. Whatever you're going through, whatever challenges, just like Brother Raymond was saying, whatever challenges that you have,
Just commit it to the Lord. And know that He will make things beautiful in His time. It is not our timing. It's not what we want, but what God wants. I'm sure that you have your challenges in your life. I don't know what you're going through. Probably health challenges. Probably financial challenges. Probably relational challenges. But when you focus on Jesus, just give Him everything. We are made to worship God. When we worry, the antidote of worrying is worshiping God. So when we focus our eyes on worshiping God, when we focus all our energy on worshiping God, when we focus all our energy to set our eyes on Jesus, we will be able to walk on water. Yes, there will be distractions. Yes, people will run you down. Just like Peter, when he attempted to walk on water, the wind was still blowing. The waves were still high. The waves were still mighty. But he knew and he knows. I believe he still knows today because he's with Jesus right now. He knows at that time that his Jesus, our Jesus, is greater than the storm. In the Sunday school here, we always sing, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. With Christ in you right now today, whatever challenges that you have, whatever worries that you have, you can smile at the storm and say that, my God is greater than the storm. My God is letting me through this journey. I know He will carry me through. So I just want to invite Brother Raymond. You can stand up and worship God and say that, God, I know that You will make all things beautiful in Your time. Because this is what not what I said, but this is what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11. God will make everything beautiful in His time. So this morning, as the worship team worships God, it's a sacred moment between you and God. If you think that the storm is overwhelming your life, and if you think that it's distracting you from God, it's distracting you from Jesus, today is the time, now is the time, for you to focus your eyes on Jesus. Accept the facts. You cannot change anything. Only God, only Jesus can change it for you. If you surrender it to Him, if you give Him the opportunity to say, God, You're all that I need. This is for You to help me. It's a journey. I can't take Your journey. Just like me, or maybe worse than me, you're going through something very difficult. You lost everything. You don't have hope. You don't have a desire. Something is troubling you. I don't know what. But commit it to the Lord. And God say, God, You're all that I need. And You're all that I have.
Let's rise as we sing this song into Your hands.
Into Your hands I commit again, with all I am, for You, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of Your hands, and I am Yours forever. Jesus, I believe in You. Jesus, I belong to You. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing, with all I am.
Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the goal. He's our pursuit.
I walk with You wherever You go. Through through tears and joy, I'll trust in you. And I will live in all of your ways,
all of your ways,
your promises, forever. Would you lift up a song and say, I believe,
Jesus, I believe,
I believe,
Jesus, I belong,
I belong to you,
you're the reason that I live, you're the reason that I
sing, Jesus,
Jesus,
let's worship God, worship God.
Jesus, I belong.
Jesus, I belong.
Oh, oh, oh.
You're the reason that I live. Oh, see, Jesus.
Jesus,
oh, yeah.
Jesus,
oh, yeah. I will worship.
I will worship
you through the storms.
I will worship
through the pain.
I will worship
through your frustration. Worship the Lord.
I will worship
you. Oh, worship.
Jesus, I believe
in you. Put your faith,
Jesus, I believe,
and your trust and your confidence in Jesus. He walks with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us.
Jesus, I belong.
You're
the reason that I see with all I am.
I want to thank Brother Gerard for speaking this word of faith. Word of encouragement. I want to thank him for reminding us that healing is not the goal. Success in life is not the goal. Happiness is not the goal. The goal is Jesus. Believe that the presence of God is here. And God is gracious. God is loving. God wants you to know that He loves you.
He'll be with you.
God wants to touch you. So if you have a need to be, you want to be prayed for, Brother Gerard will be here, the leaders will be here. Just invite you to come quickly to the front and be praying for you. Seek the Lord, come to the Lord. Don't come to a man, don't come to a person. Come to the Lord.
You are with me.
So
Jesus, we worship you, just come.
We worship you, oh God. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, reason that I see. Jesus, I believe in you. We put our trust in you. You are the divine. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I stand. Jesus, I believe.
Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for meeting with us. Your presence is so real. Thank you for releasing your word. Your word is life. Your word is light. And I pray, oh God, that Lord, whatever it is, Lord, you have deposited in our hearts and our spirits, Lord, I pray that we will be careful to nurture, and that with trust and obedience, oh Lord, we will reap the blessing of just believing in you and the blessing of faith. I pray, oh God, that you will help us to continually fix our eyes on you, to continually look to you, oh God. Lord, life is difficult. Life is challenging. We face difficulties, oh Lord, on a daily basis. But that, Lord, all these challenges and difficulties, Lord, you have allowed not to bring us down, but to raise us up, to strengthen us, to bring us into a deeper knowledge and understanding of you. So, Father, I pray, oh God, that more and more you will give us your perspective of life, oh God. Continue, Lord, to fill us with your Spirit and help us to seek after the infilling of your Spirit, that we will walk, oh Lord, and live and run with your Spirit.
Yes, God.
God, I ask, oh Lord, that we will just have that, oh Lord, that life, oh Lord, in us, oh God. It will just bring about joy and strength, oh God, and confidence. And Lord, no matter what, oh God, and Lord, we know, and we know, and we know that you are with us. And no matter how great the challenges, in Jesus, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we will overcome in your strength and not in ours. I want to thank you for my brother here. Thank you, O Lord, for the faith, O Lord, the extraordinary faith that he has demonstrated. Thank you for his story that has brought encouragement to us, O Lord. I pray, O God, that you will continue to use him, O Lord, to speak this word of faith and encouragement to your body, not just in Penang, but elsewhere, O God. Lord, I pray, O God, that even as you have healed him, Lord, that you will just bless him with good health and strength, O God. And Lord, you grant him the desires of his heart. Bless the family, oh God. They have been through so much. But I pray, oh God, that as they look back, oh Lord, that God, that these lessons in life, oh God, difficult though they may be, will continue to strengthen them and to give them hope and confidence in you. So I pray, Lord, that you will now dismiss us with your blessings, oh Lord. And I pray that God, that as we walk out, Lord, that we will just know that we are being sent forth, O God. That in your power and your might, O Lord, that we will be faithful witnesses, O God, for you. That, Lord, we will be wise to make use of every opportunity that you give us in these evil days, O Lord, to proclaim your name and to proclaim your truth, O God. Thank you, O Lord. Bless us, O Lord, as we are dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. If you still want to be prayed for, you know, Brother Gerard will be here. Just come to the front. We'll pray for you.